As I mentioned before, please don't feel inhibited in any sense. Postkin Bafut Afsanya. I want to thank the entire Adult Education Committee. Mark handled most of the logistics, but I know there's a whole committee that's involved in these things, and I want to thank everybody. Oh, so I only thank Mark. Bishus Kvod Chami, even though he's not actually in the room, you know, one of the central motifs of Sefer Vayikra is, you know, Mikdashi Tira'u. There's such a thing as Kedushas Makom and Yiras Makom, so I can't be in this Beis HaKnesses without acknowledging not just my employer, but a mentor in so many senses, Rabbi Adler. So it's really a special zuchus for me to give Mashiach in this particular Makom. I would be remiss if I didn't begin by acknowledging the basis, really, of my selection of this topic. It's Memorial Day, and certainly Memorial Day is something that we participate in. We take stock of and are mindful of. The Torah says...
Do you mind if we record you?
Yeah, I'm actually recording already, so, but you...
If I can just record this also?
Yeah, of course. Whatever you want. So, the Torah says in Sefer Dvarim, in Parshas Kiseitze, Lo sisoev adomi ki achicha hu, that if an Edomite would wish to join the Jewish people, that we would not be allowed to reject them mikol vakol completely, because, of course, he is our brother, he descends from Esav, and likewise, perhaps even more surprising, Lo sisoev mitzri ki ger ha'isa be'artso, that one is not permitted to categorically reject the Egyptian. There is a three-generation process of trying to integrate the Egyptian into the Jewish community. But the reason the Torah gives is extremely noteworthy. Ki ger ha'isa be'artso. Rashi, quoting from the Sifrei, expands and notes, Nases lo achsanya b'shas adchak, because the Egyptians took care of you, Vahira of Baaretz, when there was a rav in the land and the Jewish people were desperate, we went down to Egypt. Now, of course, after that initial period, there was oppression, which is the entire basis of the beginning of Sefer Shmos, slavery. But somehow, halachically, we're meant to look past that and to say, if they took us in when we were vulnerable, when we really had nowhere to go, we had to leave our homeland in search of survival itself, we always have to remember that. So I would say, Kal Vachomer, Ben Binoshal Kal Vachomer, how much more so we have to be mindful of this country and all of the benefits that we have in this country, this year included, right? The fact that we can do these kinds of things without even thinking twice about it, not just Na'aseis Lo Achsanya B'Shas HaTzchak, but how much this country has meant us. I speak personally, even though he's no longer with us, my grandfather, Zichron Levracha, the way that he would describe the American soldiers who came to liberate him, starving, concentration camp in southern Germany in April of 1945, that certainly has never left me, that sense of gratitude to the American soldier, of course we take mind and stock of that today, and it's really for that reason that I wanted to discuss our unique halachic approach to memory. As I say in the title, it really is a dual approach, Zachor and Lo Tishkach, and I try to elaborate what I mean by halacha's unique and characteristic approach to the topic of memory. Professor Yosef Chaim Yerushalmi, who, if not the greatest Jewish historian of the second half of the 20th century, one of the greatest, the prize student of Salo Baron, he was a professor first at Harvard and then at Columbia for many years, and he wrote a treatise which has been widely read called Zachor, with an addendum that I'll be referring to later at the end called Reflections on Forgetting. He also had this kind of a dialectic of Zachor and Lo Tishkach, and he quipped one time, but very insightfully, and I'm going to try to use this as a nekudat pticha, as a point of departure for our shiur this morning, that the Jew has been commanded to remember, zachor, but the Jew has not been commanded to become a historian. Okay, so obviously Professor Yerushalmi was on to a fundamental distinction that I would like to use as my point of departure, really a thesis statement for this morning. What is the task of the historian? The historian, by definition, as any other researcher must have, cannot have an agenda to begin with. He does not remember or seek to aggregate a particular set of facts or establish a historical pattern with any particular reason, telos, or agenda in mind. He remembers, seeks to establish what was historically lishma for the very discipline itself. Should the or would the historian have any particular agenda in mind to remember for this reason or that reason, undoubtedly that very goal itself would compromise the integrity and the objectivity of his or her research. It's very difficult to do an honest job, to properly weigh sources, and to give every source the proper and weighted voice that it deserves to have if one already has a predetermined agenda in mind. Like I said, this is not unique to the historical discipline. Of course, every basic science researcher cannot go into an experiment with a predetermined outcome that he or she wants. Of course, that's a difficult thing to do. Everybody has to publish papers and survive. It's much easier to publish a paper if it's something of significance. But if the scientific discipline per se is to be one of integrity, it certainly needs to be an objective one without any clear agenda at the beginning. Of course, Professor Yerushalmi's observation leads us to a basic distinction. The commandment towards Zachor is anything but what I just described. In fact, what I'll seek to establish at the very outset of this year is that every time that Zachor is used, and I obviously can't go through every example, but I chose to, I think what I hope are representative ones, when Zachor is used, first we'll discuss in the God-man direction, then we'll flip the directionality, but work with the same concept, the man-God direction. You'll see that Zachor is always with a particular objective. It is not to remember as the historian would, for memory's sake, simply to understand what was, but to remember with a very specific goal in mind. It's what I would like to call teleological memory. Memory with a telos, with a particular destination, with a very concrete objective. Let's go to the very first time. The Gaon would always point us in the direction of the very first time a concept appears in the Torah. This will be familiar to everybody from the Zichronos, Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros of Rosh Hashanah, Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, the first time we have Zechir in the Torah. Vayizkor Elohim es Noach, v'eskol achayah v'eskol ha-behemah asher ito bateva, Vayaver Elohim ruach al haaretz vayashoku hamayim. God's remembering Noah and that which is with him in the Teva is he immediately attached to, conjunctive with, Vayaver Elohim ruach al haaretz vayashoku hamayim. The waters subside. The idea is God doesn't just remember Noah, but remembers Noah with a very concrete, particular purpose and objective. Vayisachru mayanos tahom. Vayisachru means vayizgaru, as pointed out by the Ibn Ezra, that the lattices of the lattices of the heaven. Is that a question? Go ahead. What are you suggesting?
It means he determined, he decided.
Well, that's actually precisely my point, that it's not just memory in the theoretical sense, but the thesis that I'm actually developing, as you'll see, and you'll be able to further substantiate that as we go forward, is that God doesn't only take awareness or memory of Zechira, but that it's with a very particular purpose in mind. That's exactly my premise. Vayisachru mayanos tahom, va'arubos hashamayim, and the lattices of the heavens were closed, vayikalei hageshem min hashamayim. So again, what we have here, and this is, again, the first time we have this construct in the Torah, is that when God is zocher, that immediately translates into a very concrete and particular action. Likewise, vayihi b'shachais Elohim, this is the second source, the destruction of Sodom, vayihi b'shachais Elohim es arei hakikar, vayizkor Elohim es Avraham. God is zocher Avraham. What does that immediately translate into? Vayishalach es lot mitoch hafecha bafoch es he'arim, Asher Yashav Behein Lod, that God immediately, therefore, spares Lod and sends him forth from the destruction of Sodom and the Arei HaKikar, the five cities, the cities in which Lod had been dwelling. He chose to dwell there, of course, of his own accord, but because God is Zocher Avraham, that immediately translates into the salvation and the sparing of Lod. This, of course, is reflected in the Halacha. If you take a look at the next source, the Gemara in Maseches Brachos, the last Perek, Perek Haroa, Daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis. The Gemara there, we're going to discuss it at much greater length later on in the shir today, just about 40 minutes from now. Tani, alot v'al ishto mevarachin shtayim, that if a person would come across, literally, the Netziv Melach, if one could see such a thing, the pillar of salt, which Lot's wife was transformed into, alot v'al ishto mevarachin shtayim, al ishto omer baruch dayan ha'emes, that God has executed judgment, true judgment, at this particular location, ve'alot omer, baruch zocher es hatzadikim, that the bracha, the nusach ha-bracha, that which Chazal formulated the bracha, when you see, if you could see Lot, whatever that would mean, the Rishonim all discuss, what does that mean exactly, but my focus for now is on the formulation that Chazal gave to this particular bracha, again, zocher es hatzadikim. Now, what do we really mean? Zocher es hatzadikim, we're not taking note of the fact that God had an awareness or a memory, but that God acted in accordance with that zechira. Again, so the point is to be made very, very clearly that zechira always translates into action. So what we're suggesting is that the nusach habracha, simply by using the term zocher, doesn't connote only that God took mind of Avraham at that particular point of time, but that immediately translated into an action. Likewise, if you take a look at the fourth source, Vayizkor Elohim es Rachel, Vayishma Eloha Elohim, Vayivtach es Rachma, Vatar Vatelet Bein, Vatomer Asaf Elohim es Cherpasi. Zechiras Rachel immediately translates into Psichas Rachma, the opening of her womb and the birth of Yosef. And likewise, and finally, just the last example, there are so many more of these examples, but I think that these are representative and suffice to establish the point really unequivocally, is in the wake of the Egel HaZahav, as Moshe is repeating it later on in Sefer Dvarim, when the Jewish people face utter annihilation, destruction, Va'espalela Hashem Va'omar, Hashem Elokim, Al Tishachet Samchav Nachalascha, Asher Padisa Begadach Asher Atzeisim Yitzrayim Biyad Chazaka. Do not do what that which you're about to do to destroy the Jewish people. Zechor Lavadach Lavraham Yitzchak Yaakov Al Tefen El Kshi Amazeh Ve'El Rishol Ve'El Chataso. Moshe's appeal, which is based on Zechiras Avos Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov, Moshe doesn't even need to say, if you look at these psukim, that which he's really asking for, which is to act on the basis of this. The very term Zechor itself, as Moshe appeals to God to do this, to be Zocher, reflects the idea that God will immediately translate into the action of saving the Jewish people. We say it three times a day, Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh four times a day, sometimes Yom Kippur once a year, five times a day. Zocher Chasdei Avos, that's what we say. Umevi Goel, Livnei Bnehem, Leman Shmo Biava. Inexorably, A will always lead to B. So in the God-man direction, Zachor, of course, establishes not just a certain mentality, a mental awareness, taking stock of, but it translates into concrete and particular action. What about in precisely the opposite direction? We've only established the directionality of God-man, but what about in the man-God direction? So you take a look at the next set of sources. You just flip the page. Yes, Mark.
When you're saying that the action of the Zachor, consequence of Zachor, is not the negative, don't do, but rather the teshuva?
To spare the Jewish people. Yeah, that is a nuance. That's a very actually insightful point, that in this case, to do would be to...
I'm not sure what you mean. Are you saying that...
to not destroy the Jewish people. So there you're right. It's the inaction in this particular case.
Okay, so
though, of course, at that point, one might make the suggestion, the point is very well taken, one might make the suggestion that since the impetus had already been taken on God's part to destroy the Jewish people, it would have required like an active restraining force to hold God back from destroying the Jewish people at that stage.
Mind,
yeah, go ahead.
What chord it struck is the way Rambam describes always the meals like malacha and eating a Yom Kippur. It's a positive law.
In terms of Shvisa, the Rambam's description of Shvisa there. Okay, that's an interesting connection. Of course, there the Rambam is focused on the duality of Shabbos, Shabbason, but I do understand the analog, and the point is well taken. Okay, so if you take a look here at the back, what I'd like to establish is that Zachor has this same meaning in precisely the opposite direction when the directionality is from below to on high. So take a look at the sixth source. This is from Parshas Bo. Vayomer Moshe la'am, Zachor es hayom hazeh asher yitzasim mimitzrayim mibeis avadim. Okay, this is the first of the sheish zechiros, as we refer to them, the idea of zechiras yitzias mitzrayim. Zachor es hayom hazeh, this is not for now, but for those who are familiar, the Rambam in Hilchos Chametz Umatzah, Perek Zayin Halacha Aleph, actually uses this pasuk, Zachor es hayom hazeh, as the makar for Sipor yitzias mitzrayim. He draws a parallel, Zachor es hayom hazeh, with Zachor es yom haShabbos l'kadsho. Not for now, but just to note, this is the Rambam's makor of the din of Sipor Yetzias Mitzrayim. Zachor es hayom hazeh asher yitzasim mitzrayim bebeis avadim, ki bechozek yad hotzi Hashem eschem mizeh, v'lo ye'achel chametz. Attached to the very pasuk of Zachor es hayom hazeh is immediately a translation into action. The Isser of Achilas Chametz, and as the Gemara in Maseches Pesachim, Daf Chafalef Amid Beis notes, according to Chizkiya, it's Machlokes Chizkiya Rabbi Avohu, but according to Chizkiya, and it should be noted that the Rambam Paskins, according to Chizkiya, V'lo ye'achel chametz establishes the Isser Hana'ah as well. So it's a very important pasuk, V'lo ye'achel chametz, in terms of Hilchos Chametz, but my point for now is that it's attached as a clause to Zachor es hayom hazeh. For us to truly fulfill zachor es hayom hazeh, apparently it must immediately translate into a concrete action. In this case, apropos Mark's most recent observation, a kind of an inaction, a withdrawal, complete withdrawal, iser achila, iser hana'ah, from chametz. Likewise, if you take a look at the next one of the sheish zechirots, zachar es yom haShabbos, the Torah doesn't just say zachar es yom haShabbos, but likadisho. Zechira Shabbos has to be done in a way likadisho. So the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos makes it very clear that simply mentioning that it's Shabbos is insufficient for purposes of fulfilling this mitzvah. The Rambam says that two things have to be done. This has been discussed extensively by the Rav. I'm not going to do it full justice here. But the Rambam says, essentially, Zechira Shabbos, if you're going to fulfill this mitzvah, has to include both Gidulas Hayom, the exalting of the day. You have to state that which is intrinsically unique about it, or great about it, I should really say, V'Havdalas Hayom, Hagdalas Hayom, V'Havdalas Hayom, that which is great about it, and that which is distinct from every other day. How Shabbos differentiates itself from every other day. By the way, that happens to be the Rambam's connection with Zachar Sayom Azeh, Shari Tzassim, Mitzrayim, Bibes Avadim. That's why the Rambam bases it, really, of Zachar Sayom HaShabbos. To do the mitzvah of Sipor Yitzias Mitzrayim properly, you have to discuss both Gidulas Hayom and Havdalas Hayom. If you go on in these psukim here, but Zachar Sayom HaShabbos, it's not only Lekadsho, but it immediately translates the psukim that you're all so familiar with into an Isser Malacha as well. It has to translate into the realm of concrete action. If you take a look at the next source, this isn't formally one of the Sheish Zechiros, but it really is a classic and, I hope, representative example, the mitzvah of tzitzis. Vayalacham tzitzis u'risem oso, uzchartem is kol mitzvos Hashem, va'asisem osam. Zechiras ha-mitzvos, as triggered by the mitzvah of tzitzis, has to immediately translate zechira le'asiya, uzchartem is kol mitzvos Hashem, va'asisem osam. Likewise, in the very next pasuk mem, lema'an tizkeru, va'asisem es kol mitzvosai. It's almost a trope. You can't miss it anywhere in Chumash. If it was true in the God-man direction, it's equally true in the man-God direction. The man tizkeru va'asisem es kol mitzvosai. Now, a little bit of a different example. We're going to develop this, I hope, at much further length later on in the shiur. But let me just put it on the table now. This isn't actually an example of zechira. It's a prohibition of lo tishkach. This is actually our first foray into that subtly different category. Rak hishamer lecha v'shmor nafshecha me'od, pen tishkach es hadvarim asher ra'u einecha, ufen yasurum olvavecha kol yimei chayecha, v'odatum l'vanecha l'idnei vanecha. Here Moshe Rabbeinu is telling the Jewish people that they are prohibited, this is as the Ramban understands it, they are prohibited from forgetting the events of Mamad Har Sinai. Pen tishkach es hadvarim asher ra'u einecha, ufen yasurum olvavecha. There's a lot more to say about this pasuk. We'll return to it. Ve'odatam levanecha v'livnei banecha, yom asher amad t'lifnei Hashem elokecha b'chorev, the day that you stand in front of God at Chorev, at Sinai. Ve'mor Hashem elai hakeli esha'am, v'yashmim esdevarai, asher yulmedun liyura'usi kol yamim asher him chayim adama, v'yaz b'neihem yulamidu. The Isra of Los Hishkach is linked here to a very particular purpose, asher yulmedun liyura'usi. The reason I ask you not to forget is so that you're able to propagate the Masorah forward, and that your children will have a sense, these are the words of the Torah, not mine, of Yiras Shamayim, liyira osi kol hayamim. Next example, Zachar es asher asa Hashem elokecha lemiryam, baderech betzeischa mimitraim. Would that we only had this pasuk, the mitzvah of Zachiras ma'aseh Miriam, and again here the Ramban, as I just mentioned, he counts the Isser of forgetting Mamad Har Sinai. The Ramban counts this as one of Taryag Mitzvahs. The Ramban says, if there's a mitzvah, Sasei Midaraisa, one of the 248 mitzvahs Sasei, of Zechiras Miriam. So you would say, okay, but here it doesn't really translate into action, does it? So the Ramban says, actually it does. If you take a look at the 11th source, based on this pasuk, Mikan Nira, Sherabosenu Yasu Osam Mitzvah, it is a concrete mitzvah, Lo Sipor Ve'etza Bilvad Linatzel Min HaNegayim, Ve'echi Tachen Shel Lashon Hara, Shehu Shakol Keshvichas Damim, Lo siyavo v'tora lo sase gamor alav haba michlal asay. Aval b'kasav hazeh azhara. So the Ramban again is saying, take a look at the next page. Limanea mimenu ben begaloi ben beseser ben bemiskavin lahazik ulivazos ben she'enem miskavin lahazik klal. Whether or not one has malicious intent or whether or not one, as the Ramban assumes of Miriam, that her intent was really letovah. V'zo mitzvah michlal taryag mitzvos. V'shachacha bal halachos gedolos v'chol hamonim ha-mitzvos acharav. Just 1 second, just finish this point. We'll break for a question. So the Ramban is saying that zechira here, as it appears in the Torah, cannot just mean some kind of a general awareness, but has to translate into very concrete behavior, again, with Mark's very important observation. In this case, that we have to restrain ourselves, despite the fact that we're all at times enticed to speak Lashon Hara, that Zechiras Miriam must translate into a very concrete set of behaviors, namely that we're meant to withhold ourselves from certain kinds of speech, even though Miriam HaNeviah HaTzadekes, as the Ramban elaborates so powerfully, failed on this particular occasion. Again, for the Ramban, Zachor must really be part of Taryag. Yes, sir?
As far as Zachor relating to Lashon Hara, Zachor is about awareness. Lashon Hara is also about awareness. You're aware of everything that's going on. So what you find here is that this is a very strange puzzle. Being aware of the fact that you don't have to be aware of every single thing that's happening in the community. It's possible that that's the reason why, of all the things, Zachor is related to Lashon Hara. It's almost a kind of paradoxical relationship.
Certainly for the Ramban. I would say certainly for the Ramban, that's the idea. Part of the issue with Miriam is that, and I might say it, take your idea and just play it in exactly the opposite direction. The problem for Miriam is Lochein Abdi Moshe b'chol beis neman, who she builds a construct in her mind. Harak b'Moshe diber Hashem, halo gambanu diber vayishma Hashem, is that Miriam presumes that her understanding of the world based on her own experience is the way that the world works, right? If I'm a Neviyah and you Aharon are a Navi, and we can still have a normal family life, so Harak ach b'Moshe diber Hashem halo gambanu diber. Her projection of what is her reality, an accurate depiction of her reality onto Moshe, is exactly the problem. So I might say it's her real lack of awareness of the unique quality of Moshe. That's what Hashem says, Lochein Avdi Moshe. Moshe is not as you imagine him to be, based on your image of yourself or what it means to be a Navi. But again, the point is itself well taken. Take a look at the next source. This, I think, is the most famous example. But a very powerful one, and I want to just demonstrate how the halacha took this into account in a very powerful way. This, of course, is Zechiras Amalek. Zachor is asher asa lecha Amalek, baderech b'tzeischa mimitzrayim, asher korcha baderech, v'yizanev b'cha kol nechashalim, acharecha v'ata yefe yageya, v'lo yare Elohim. V'haya b'aniach Hashem lokecha lecha mikol yivecha misaviv, asher Hashem lokecha nosein lecha nachala l'rishta, timcha es zecher Amalek mitachas ha-shamayim lo tishgach. So the Torah says that there is a mitzvah of zechiras Amalek. There are two other mitzvos. One of them is mechias Amalek, and the other one is lo tishgach. We'll discuss lo tishgach a little bit later, but here we have a linking of zechiras Amalek with the command towards mechias Amalek. And in fact, the Ramban in his Perush al Torah says that's actually the whole point of zechira. The reason that we have the mitzvah of zechira is so that we never forget to enact the mitzvah of Mechiyah. So again, another classic example where Zechira must immediately translate into some kind of, I shouldn't say immediately, but Zechira must have an outlet in the world of Asiyah, just as the Ramban said the Shitaso about Zachar Es Asher Asa Hashem Lokecha LeMiriam. The words in the Torah are almost the same. So the Ramban saying, yeah, that's a mitzvah too. That happens to be the mitzvah of Lashon Hara. That was a big chiddush that the Ramban said. Here it's a little bit less of a chiddush, but the Ramban says, if you take a look at the 13th source, the whole idea is to perpetuate the memory of what Amalek did to us for the sake of annihilating Amalek. I'm going to show you another makar in just a second. V'anachon be'enai shulomar shulotishkach ma'ashasalanu Amalek ad sheni nimcha eshemo mitachas hashamayim unesaper zelu v'anelo d'arasenu lomar lahem kach asalanu harasha. So we have to propagate the memory forward. Ulekach nitztavinu limchos es shemo. And because of what he did to us, not willy-nilly, this isn't some kind of, you know, imperialist land grab, nor is this some kind of a racial prejudice or anything like that, but the reason that we have the mitzvah of mechiyah is for these purposes. V'chein b'ma'asei Miriam, so on and so forth. It's not just me who's linking them. The Ramban says that, of course, these things have to translate. When the Torah says the language of Zachor, it immediately has to translate into the realm of Asiyah as well. Now, just in terms of a very prominent, rather well-known, halachic expression of this concept of the linking between the Zechira and the Asiyah, the Sefer HaChinuch draws a very radical conclusion. It's a conclusion that's challenged, and justly so, by the Minchas Chinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch says as follows, Noheges mitzvah zo, b'chol makom v'chol zman, he's discussing the mitzvah of Zechira Samalek, bizcharim. So all of the loops and hoops that we jump through to make sure that there's a Kriyas HaTorah available for women as well, in the context of Parsha Zachor, the Sefer HaChinuch would not require that, okay? Bischarim, why? How in the world would the Sefer HaChinuch justify the conclusion? It's not a mitzvah to say Shasman Grama, so why in the world would the Sefer HaChinuch draw the conclusion that women are pater from the mitzvah of Zechiras HaMalek? Bischarim, kilahem lasos hamilchama, v'nikmas ha'oyiv lolin Hashem. So why? Only because the Mechias Amalek is to be, and this is, again, eminently challengeable. We have a concept when it comes to a Mechames Mitzvah, the Gemara in Sota, this last Gemara in Masachah Sota, says, afilu kala mechupasa, okay? Chasan mechedra v'kala mechupasa, that when it comes to Mechames Mitzvah, or what's sometimes called, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Mechames Chova, that everybody has to participate. It's all hands on deck, not just the men, but women as well. So again, it's a very, very strange passage here in the Sefer HaChinuch. The halachic conclusion is not my focus for now, but it's the conceptual underpinning of the halachic conclusion. Because what's the Sefer HaChinuch saying? If it indeed is the case that Zechira immediately translates into the realm of Asiya, into Mechia, it must be that those who I think are obligated in the Asiya, in the Mechia Samalek, are the only ones who are involved in the Zechira. The assumption itself is a very fascinating one. Why would you make that assumption? Why would the Sefer HaChinuch box himself into this very difficult halachic position? Now he's forced to justify why exactly he thinks that only the women are involved in the Mechia. But again, for the Chinuch, it was just obvious that the Zechira and the Mechia have to be inextricably linked. So whoever chayav in one is going to be chayav in the other. So again, this is something of a das yachid in the halachos of mitzvah Zechira Samalek, but I think it comes from a conceptually very well-founded position. That Zechira, as we saw in all these cases, whether it was Zachar as Yom HaZeh Asher Yitzhasim Yitzrayim V'lo Yachel Chameitz, Zachar as Yom HaShabbos Likadcho, followed by Losa Samalacha, Laman Tizkeru Va'asisem is called Mitzvosai, Rak Yishamer Lecha Shmor Nafshecha Me'od, Pentishka Chesadvar Masher Ro'enecha, V'hodatam Levanecha, L'mei Vanecha, you have to teach and propagate the idea forward. Zachar Es Asher 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 Mekech L'Miriam, Neshita Saramban, which immediately translates as part of Taryag, that you have to be very, very careful about Lashon Hara. And finally, Zachar is Asher Asalacha Malek, translating into Mechia, that's the Ramban here, and the Sefer HaChinuch with his halachic conclusion that the only people who could possibly be Chayev in Zechira are the ones who are Chayev in the Asiya. You see here a standard assumption, both in the text of Torah itself and in the Rishonim as well, that Zechira implies not just an awareness, but some kind of a translation to the active realm. If that is indeed the case, then we do have a perfect parallel in the bilateral direction. Zachor from God to man always implies concrete action. Zachor from man back to God in terms of our awareness of certain concepts, whether it's Shabbos, Tzitzis, Amalek, Miriam, Yitzias, Mitzrayim, etc., always finds concrete manifestation in the realm of Asiya. Okay, so that's just in terms of Zachor. Now let's take a look at the second half of the duality here, which is really Lo Tishkach. This is obviously a related topic, but somewhat distinct, and what I hope to do is be able to put everything together. The idea that Zachor is paired with Lo Tishkach is not first found in the realm of mitzvos that we'll discuss in a second, but actually goes all the way back to Sefer Bereishis, familiar to all of us, and the story of Yosef is wallowing away in prison, and he's had enough of it, and Yosef makes a very heartfelt plea to the Sar HaMashkim, Ki im zechartani yitcha kasher yitavlach, when you will be remembered and brought in front of Paro, please remember me with you. And the Torah testifies, not surprisingly, V'lo zachar Sar HaMashkim es Yosef v'yishkachehu. Zechira and shechecha together. V'lo zachar Sar HaMashkim es Yosef v'yishkachehu. Apparently, it wasn't sufficient to say V'lo zachar Sar HaMashkim es Yosef, but it also has to say v'yishkachehu. So who remembers what Rashi says? What's Rashi's position on this pasuk? Rashi? Not my focus for now, but just by way of contrast with Ibn Ezra. So, V'lo zachar Sar HaMashkim, Rashi says, Bo Bayom, okay, that he didn't mention it on that day. He did see Paro on that day. How do we know? Because it was Yom Huledes es Paro, and Paro had all of his Sarim V'Avadim there, and he made a big show of it. He was a very sadistic person, and the way that he chose to celebrate his birthday was by showing that he had power over life and death. So he brought out these two people. Right, think about the Shnei Asiirim, if you remember the parak in Masachas Yoma. Shnei Asiirim, the two goats, are shoving Bekoma, Begoral, Bedamim. Right, they're exactly the same, and then they have opposite destinies. Right, one of them goes Lazazel, one of them goes Lahashem. So Paro brings out these two sarim. This is Mefurash Mikra. You can just take a look. This is what's going on. He's celebrating his birthday. And, you know, he sends one to the gallows and one he restores his position. So he's showing his power. I control life and death. So the Sarah Mashkim had an opportunity on that day. So Rashi says, V'lo zachar Sarah Mashkim es Yosef bo bayom, v'yishkacheu la'achar zman. He didn't remember the next day, the next week, the next year. It would be until a few years later that he would remember Yosef es chata'ai, ani mazkir hayom. And of course, as Rashi notes, at that time, Na'ar Ivri Eved L'Sara Tabachim B'Gnusan Shal Rishayim, that even when they're doing a good thing, they do it in the most nasty, malicious way possible. Na'ar Ivri Eved, that he denigrates Yosef the way that he does. But be that as it may, the Ibn Ezra, I think, leads us in a very different direction, and one that will be in Nikudat Pticha for this segment of our shir. V'lo zachar sar mashkim, lo hiskiro b'feh. He does not articulate what Yosef did for him, to Paro, nor to anybody else. Vayishkachehu balev. That zechira and shechacha, perhaps, relate to different realms, different spaces. Zechira would relate to articulation, not just to be aware of something, but to make others aware. Zachor lehazkir, as it were. Vayishkachehu relates to a certain internal sense of awareness. Here, without quoting it, the Ibn Ezra is really channeling what the Sifrei says in all cases. Let's say Amalek, for example, Zachar Eis Asher Asaluch Amalek, the end of those three psukim, Lo Tishkach. So the Sifrei says, Zachar Bepeh, Lo Tishkach Balev. So the Ibn Ezra is really working off that tradition without referencing it here, is that must be what's going on in the case of the Sar HaMashkim as well. So I'd like to take that idea, but I hope to develop it further in a number of ways to get a better understanding of what the Torah means when it says Lo Tishkach. And this, again, is not the only time in the context of the Sar HaMashkim, nor is Amalek the only time really find both of these ideas together. Apparently, from the Torah's point of view, they really aren't redundant. So I want to read a Rambam in Hilchos Melachim, followed by a Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos, and try to pin down the way that the Rambam understands Lo Tishkach in the context of Amalek. And I think based on what we said about the mitzvah of Zechira, I hope something very elegant will emerge about the context, the concept of Lo Tishkach, and you'll see really how it's parallel, but in the opposite direction, to what Zechira is all about. We have a lot of work to do to get there, but let's begin with the Rambam's approach to the mitzvahs of Amalek. I mentioned before that there's a triad of mitzvahs with Amalek, Zachar, Timcha, Lo Tishkach. So here we go. This is the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim. The reason the Rambam is discussing these things in Hilchos Melachim is the Gemara in Maseches Sanhedrin, the Chaf Amud Beis, says Shalosh Mitzvos Nitzavu Yisrael B'Shas Knisas on the Aretz, and the Gemara gives a very particular order. Limnos Lahamelech, Limchos Zaro Shalamalek, Livnos Beis HaBechira. So the Rambam basically follows that trajectory, that Maimar of the Gemara in Maseches Sanhedrin, and after he discusses four chapters worth of Hilchos Melachim, Limnos Lahamelech, then he moves on, Lahachris Zaro Shalamalek. So the Rambam is operating within that context. V'chein mitzvah saseh la'abed zecher amalek. The Rambam is working on mechiyah here. Shene'emar timcha zecher amalek. U'mitzvas aseh liskor tamir ma'asav haro'im v'arevaso. The Rambam holds that it's a mitzvah saseh midaraisa liskor tamid ma'asav haro'im. The Rambam apparently felt, and this is a very, very important halachic discussion, that it was insufficient to remember that which Amalek did once a year, or b'chol eis va'eis. The Rambam's formulation, the Sefer Mitzvos here, he says tamid. That's a very important, and it's discussed extensively in halachic literature. Mitzvos aseh lizkor tamid ma'asav haro'im, etc. Kidei le'orer evaso, to stimulate enmity of Amalek. So here again, you see for the Rambam, as it was the case for the Ramban, that zechira is meant to link to mechia. We remember so that we stimulate enmity, which will be actualized in a war of annihilation against Amalek. Shenemar, Zachar es asher asa l'cha Amalek, mipi ha-shmu alamdu Zachar b'peh, lo tishkach balev, that's the Sifrei I was alluding to, she'asar lishkoach evaso v'sinasa. So the Rambam in the Mishneh Torah gives us very little insight into what exactly would constitute shichachas Amalek, other than to say, Zachar v'peh, lo tishkach balev, to simply repeat the words of the Sifrei. But if you take a look at the Sefer HaMitzvos, and very often this is the case for the Rambam, if you want to really establish what a shita is, you have to be very thorough about it and look in all the places where the Rambam discusses a mitzvah. The Sefer HaMitzvos, the Mishneh Torah, the Minyan HaKatzar, which is in the introduction to the Mishneh Torah, and the Koseres, to every particular set of halachos. So here, this is from the Sefer HaMitzvos, and I hope you'll find it, as I do, much richer and more informative in terms of the particular contours of Lo Tishkach. HaMitzvah Hanun Tes, the 59th prohibition, Hi Sheziranu, Meshchoach Masha Asalanu Zera Malek, Vihikdimam Lahazik Lanu. So here the Rambam does give it very particular substance. That which you're not allowed to forget is the fact that they were the first ones to attack us. Okay? Ukvar biyarnu b'mitzvahs kuf peites mitzvahs asay lizkor masha asalanu amalek ulechadish sinaso mitzvahs asay, that we have to constantly renew our enmity of Amalek lest it grow stale. V'chein, and here's where the Rambam is golden, v'chein anachnu muzharim mehashlich zeh milibeinu umishachoach oso v'hi mitzvahs los asay v'hu amaro yisale los ishkach. One more time. V'chein anachnu muzharim mehashlich zeh milibeinu. One final time. V'chein anachnu muzharin mehashlich zeh milibeinu. That the Isser da'araisa lo tishkach is not to forget in the sense of neglect, but mehashlich zeh milibeinu means to actively reject, to alienate ourselves from this particular legacy. Mehashlich zeh milibeinu. Umishachoach aso. The Rambam has put his finger, if it's true, on something absolutely remarkable. I'm going to try to instantiate it in at least two other places. That if we really want to understand Lo Tishkach, what we have to understand is that there's something very active about it. Think about forgetting as passive. The Rambam does not. Take a look at the next makar. It's a Mishnah in Maseches Avos, where the Mishnah explicitly differentiates between shichcha of a passive variety and shichcha of an active variety. We'll go through this makar, we'll take a look at one further source, and then we'll try to build everything together into one construct. Rabbi Dustai, Rabbi Yanei, Mishim, Rabbi Meir, Omer, Kola shocheach davar echad mishnaso, malal al kasov kilu mischayev benafsho. If a person were to forget but one chafetz of Torah that he learned, davar echad mimishnasa, so the Torah considers it as if we're not going to implement chiyuv misa, we're not going to give the guy skila or hereg, but malav akasov ki ilu mischayev nafsha. It's a remarkable statement. Shenemar raki shamer lecha shmor nafshecha meod pentishka chasadvar masheroi necha yachol afilu takfa alav mishnasa. The Mishnah says, so what happens? Let's just say you can't remember, the Shir was 22 years ago, and you remember two of the Nafkamina, but not the third. Yeah. I think most of us would say you're doing a pretty good job. But, this is the Mishnah has to ask the question because of the statement of Malav Akasav, Kidu Mishchayi Benavsho. So Yachol Afilu Takfa Alav Mishnah, so just got too much to remember. Tamud Omar Ufen Yasurim Levavcha Kol Yimei Chayecha Inu mischayev benafsho ad sheyeshev v'yisirim milibo. What is the hagdara? What is the definition here of hishamer lecha pentishkach es hadvarim ad sheyeshev v'yisirim milibo? It's not a passive. I simply neglected it over time. That's a different issue. You let the cobwebs gather. Ad sheyeshev v'yisirim milibo. Mehashlich zeh milibeinu, the Rambam said, lo tishkach. That's what it means in the context of Amalek. And likewise, the Mishnah Avos is saying, in terms of our responsibility to Torah, the Isser of Shichachas HaTorah, as elaborated by the Mishnah Avos, and precisely defined, right? The Mishnah did consider the possibility that it might mean simply forgetting because one wasn't able to remember. Okay, not that one tried to forget, but as far as the Mishnah is concerned, the Mechayev in this particular case is Ad Sheyeshev V'yisirei Milibo. Tishkach and Lo Tishkach is do not alienate yourself from a particular legacy. Lo Tishkach in the context of Amalek, Rambam Mehashlich Zeh Milibeinu. Lo Tishkach in the context of Mamad Har Sinai, according to the Mishnah and Avos, remarkable idea, Ad Sheyeshev V'yisirei Milibo. Let's go back now to those tukim I commented on in the Zachar side. This is the Chiddush of the Ramban, that there's a special Isser De'oraisa, one of the 365 prohibitions to forget Mamad Har Sinai. I'll just go back and read the pasuk again. I'll read it more carefully this time, and I'll show you how the Ramban picked up on this to establish what he thought the Lo Sase really was. Rak hishamer locha, be very careful. Shmor nafshecha meod, exceedingly careful. Pentishkach es hadvarim asher ra'ui necha. Ufen yasuru milvavcha So the Torah uses two different clauses in this context to describe that which you have to be exceedingly careful about. So the Ramban, he wrote essentially the same essay twice, one in his Perush al Torah, and then the other in his Hasagos on the Sefer Mitzvos, just very briefly, not everybody's aware what that source is, I'll just mention 30 seconds. The Baal Halachos Gedolos wrote a compendium of what he thought Tarig Mitzvos were. Why there is a consensus that there are 613 Mitzvos is not at all obvious. The Gemara Masachs Makos and Daf Gimel notes that Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, Torah in Gematria 611, Anochi and Lo Yelecha Mipia Gevura Shema Anum, that's 613. So the Baal Halachos Gedolos, we don't know exactly who he was or where he lived. It's a subject of great controversy in the academy, but be that as it may, the Baal Halachos Gedolos gave his version, and the Rambam wrote a polemic against his version that we call the Sefer Mitzvos. We studied some of it today. So the Ramban wrote a defense. One of the Ramban's preoccupations in life was to write defenses of earlier authorities. So the Ramban wrote a defense of the Bahag called the Hasagos on the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos. And part of that work are what he calls the Shichachas HaEsen and the Shichachas HaLavin. He thinks that the Rambam forgot to count certain things. He shouldn't have counted other things. And he thinks that the Rambam forgot to count Lavin as well. So this is number two. So the Ramban wrote the same essay in both places, and the formulations are equally crisp. I literally just chose one in the interest of space, but you could look it up there as well. Right, the Dibros will be mentioned in this fourth chapter of Deuteronomy. That we should not forget. Here the Ramban assumes what the Pasuk meant when it said Pentishkach Hasadvarim means to forget passively. Velo nisirehu milibenu leolam. Lehasir, as you all know, in Hebrew means to remove. Think of the Rambam's definition in the context of the Isser of Amalek, mehashlich zam milibenu. Think of the Mishnah in Maseches Avos, ad sheyeshev v'yisireim milibo. Think of the Ramban here in terms of his defining the two different ways that you could violate the Isser. One of them is to simply allow passively the memory to fade, but my focus this morning is on that second dimension, mehashlich zem milibenu ad sheyeshev v'yisireim milibo, or in this context, velo nasirehu milibenu leolam, to actively alienate ourselves from the memory of Ma'amad Har Sinai. Yes, Rabbi Gottlieb.
In the lesson of the Ramban here, do you think the Ramban is focusing on the content of Ma'amad Har Sinai or on the encounter?
That's an excellent question. He actually means both.
Yeah.
And the only reason I know that is because in the next paragraph the Ramban says it.
Okay.
Yeah, so if you look there and... Yes,
elements.
Yeah. He says both. He says, Masha Ra'inu, Masha Shamanu. That's a quote. So what we saw there in terms of the kolos of the Vrakim, how we could have seen the kolos is its own question, right? V'cholam ro'im es ha-kolos. So once you accept that you could actually see the kolos, okay? So then the Ramban goes on to say, and the content as well. So for him, it's both the experience as well as the content. And again, it's a very good question. I had the same question myself. But, you know, Terry, you have to make sure Binyamin knows that for the test tomorrow. That will be asked. Okay, so that is the Ramban's definition of what it is we're not allowed to forget. I'd like to suggest, okay, this is, you know, my own little addition to this, is that that's really what, Ni'im Zmiros Yisrael, what David HaMelech really meant when he said, if you just take a look at the last two psukim, Im Eshkacheich Yerushalayim, Tishkach Yemini, right? And Im Eshkachech Yerushalayim doesn't just mean that, you know, if I forget, you know, we don't pass on. There are Jewish children that are growing up in, Vancouver that don't know that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. But Im Eshkachech Yerushalayim, to actively alienate yourself, Mehashlich Zamilibenu, Ad Sheyeshiv Yisir Milibo, unfortunately, this is something that we do live with. And then, again, the converse, I'd like to suggest, you find exactly what we meant before. Tidbak l'shoni l'chiki im lo eskerechi. If I am not azkir Yerushalayim, what does that mean in practice? Im lo a'ales Yerushalayim. It has to immediately translate into aliyah l'regel, im lo a'ales Yerushalayim al roshim chasi. So just to pause for a moment before we bring everything to a conclusion, I think something, to my mind anyway, quite remarkable emerges about the duality, the dyad of Zachor and Lo Tishkach. What we tried to suggest about the term Zachor as it appears in Mikra, both in the direction of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to human beings and in the opposite direction from Bnei Adam back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is that Zachor always finds an immediate analog in the realm of Asiya. when the Kadosh Baruch Hu is Zocher Noach, Vayaver Elohim Ruach al Aretz, Vayashoku Hamayim, Vayiskor Elohim Es Rachel, Vayiftach Es Rachma. If Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to be Zocher Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, then it immediately means Umebi Goel, Leave Nevenehem. And likewise, in the opposite direction, Zachor Es Hayom Hazeh, means v'lo yeachel chametz. Zachar es yom ha-shabbas l'kadsho. Zachar es asher asa l'cha amalek timche es zecher amalek. Zachar es asher asa Hashem l'kechel l'miryam. It immediately translates as part of taryag mitzvos, etc. So if this is true, if zechira always really implies a very active component, then how elegant and how symmetrical it truly is that the Rambam, Ramban, and hopefully, if we're correct, Psukim and Sefer Tehillim would all agree that the Isser of Lo Tishkach is not merely passively to let it grow stale or to forget, but it also includes an active component as well. Mehashlich zeh milibenu ad sheyeshe v'yisireh milibo v'lo nisirehu milibenu le'olam. Those are the three formulations that we saw, that the true Isser of Lo Tishkach, as it appears in all of these different cases, is truly to remove in an active sense, to alienate yourself from the particular legacy. I could have just as easily put it on the sheet. The Vidoy Meiser, when the faithful, pious, simple Jew who's tithing and separating his trumos from Meisros, that final statement that he makes, Lo avarti mi mitzvosecha velo shachachti, that I did not fail, in an active sense, to perform any one of the mitzvos that are incumbent upon me, the trumos, the trumas meiser, the meiser rishon, the meiser sheni, the matnos kahuna, lo avarti mitzvosecha, velo shachachti. I have not alienated myself from this. I continue to identify, and therefore we ask reciprocally from you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hashkifa mimon kachacha min hashamayim uvareches am chayis Yisrael. You should take stock of us, to look very carefully. Zechira always implies an asiya, unlike, as Professor Yerushalmi noted, right? We're not meant to be historians, to know simply for knowing's sake, but zachor, to know in a very active way. And when the Torah has said, don't just know, but lo tishkach, do not forget, it means do not alienate yourself. To go back to that original example, that's really the way that I understand the Ibn Ezra on the Sarah Mashkim. Velo zachar sara mashkim et Yosef. He wasn't willing to remember Yosef in the sense of doing anything about it. Vayishkachehu. He immediately wished to alienate himself from that which he received from Yosef. It was an active form of kfuei tova. He wanted no part of being indebted to this Jew. And of course, he was only willing, I don't even think it means that he forgot it. I don't think he forgot it. I think he alienated himself from it. And thus, the proof is in the pudding, the raya, when it was in his interest to speak of Yosef, he immediately could do so as chata'ay animas keryom. I don't think it means it popped into his head. I think vayishkacheu means he alienated himself from it. Me hashlich zami libenu, I have no part of this. And a Jew is enjoined and mandated never to alienate himself from the historical legacy of the Jewish people. Zachor asiya lo tishkach, therefore, as the true antithesis of zechira, also would mean something very active as well. That's the basic approach that I wanted to play out today. I wanted to take it one step further, if time permits, in the few minutes that we have remaining. But first, I'll take some questions. Yes.
Some of the examples you had, one was Amalek, and the other one was Yerushalayim. Both of those have very negative connotations. Amalek represents evil, which people want to forget that it exists because it's so dangerous. And in terms of Yerushalayim, it's also because the memories were so terrible of the Talos. It's also something that people would want to alienate themselves from. It will be an active thing. I don't want to remember this because the memory is so horrible. So perhaps what you're saying works very well in at least two of the examples of Malik and the one.
Thank you. Yeah, I would really endorse both of those individual interpretations. That's exactly what I had in mind. Yes.
What you're saying about Shikha is that it's the next step that informs your behavior. It's the connector that informs the asiya part.
That's exactly right. So if, put it like this, if what it really means to be zocher is to be willing to commit to a certain set of actions, if I am zocher as hayom hazeh asher yitzasim yitzrayim, then I am lo yeachel chametz. If I am Zacharis asher asa l'cha amalek, then I am timcha zecha amalek, so then that's exactly right. So lo tishkach means do not alienate from yourself from it to the point where you're not willing to commit to those actions. Me hashlich zeh milibeinu, in the context of amalek, means I'm not willing to participate in this. I see this as barbaric, or as particularistic. I'm a universalist. I don't buy into this history. Right? Etc. So that's exactly right. It means to alienate yourself from the logical conclusion of the zechira, and in that way to alienate yourself from the Jewish people's unique heritage and legacy. That's right.
It's to break down into pieces that part which informs your behavior. In other words, it's breaking it down. It should become second nature to you.
You could put it that way. But right, the important thing to remember is that when there is shechacha, there's no possibility of asiya. Not just because you don't know the facts, but because you've actively taken a stand against this. I'm angry about everything that they taught me in cheder and talmud torah. So there's no possibility of there being an asiya that follows up. Yeah, Mark.
Would it be correct to say that there's three stages then? Complete passivity, you just don't remember something. You're completely putter. Not making efforts to remember is the first stage, then an active, I want to get rid of it.
Those are certainly valid categories. But whether or not you'd be putter for the first case is the way that you set it up, of simply, you know, forgetting. The Ramban seems to include that in the Gather of the Yisra, at least of forgetting Mamad Har Sinai, because the Pasuk, remember, has that those two clauses. Rak yishamer lecha shmor nafshecha me'od, pen tishkach es hadvarim. The Ramban takes that to be passively. Ufen yasur milavavcha. So the Ramban says you wouldn't be putter for the passive version in that case.
We've so often used the phrase here, something similar to it. Actively trying to get rid of it.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure how to define the difference between actively getting rid of something and the non-forgetting.
So put it this way. Put it in terms of the Sarah Mashkim. I don't think the Sarah Mashkim ever forgot what happened. I think it's quite clear from the Pesukim that he knew exactly what happened. It wasn't like, oh, if you asked him, you know, where were you for those, few years, whatever, he would say, yeah, I have no idea. Maybe I was in Sinai. You know, he knew exactly what happened. But what it means, vayishkacheyu, is he alienated himself from it. He wasn't willing to see himself as indebted to Yosef. It was, you know, too much of a conflict for him psychologically to perceive himself.
It has a cognitive dimension, not just...
Again, you have the facts, but you've alienated.
Right.
So again, for the Rambam, if you'd ask me, what would be mechayiv somebody in the Isra of Lotishkach, according to the Rambam, a person could know the exact space in Midbar Sinai that Amalek attacked the Jews, know exactly what happened, know what happened with Yoshua, know what happened with Moshe on the mountain, and he's still over Lotishkach if he is Mashlich Zem Yilibeinu, if he says, this doesn't apply to me, I have no interest in this legacy, this is all a fable to me. Yeah, that's the idea. Yes. Yeah. Welcome.
If you say this that you heard out, and why do you suppose the Pasuk Shamar Yom Shabbat Kodesh isn't written as Lo Tishkach et Yom Shabbat Kodesh Shamar Otzar or Shamar Mitzvot Shabbat or something like that?
Yeah, so that's a very subtle question. I'll just give you a thesis, and you'll see the application will, to a certain extent, be homework. But anytime the Torah actually uses Lo Tishkach, it's actually referring to a particular event. So you really couldn't use it about Shabbos. So Zachor Es Asher Asalacha Amalek Lo Tishkach, or Zachor Al Tishkach. We haven't discussed this example yet, but Zachor Al Tishkach Es Asher Ikzavta Hashem Elokecha Bamidbar is a reference to the Egel Hazahav. Or Lo Tishkach in the context of a particular Cheftza of Torah that you learn. That's the Mishnah and Maseches Avos, or in the context of the Rabban Mamad Har Sinai. So we didn't have time to get into that for now, but when the Torah uses the term Lo Tishkach, it's always about a particular event. The Sarah Mashkim, Velo Zachar Sarah Mashkim, Es Yosef Eishkechei, you'd be less likely to use it about Shabbos, even if it was conceptually appropriate. Does that make sense? Yes. Sarah Mashkim, Mamad Har Sinai, Amalek, etc., but not Shabbos, because Shabbos is, you know, an ongoing thing. It wasn't a particular historical event that happened. So I think you'll find that actually categorically answers the question. Yeah. Did I miss it? Oh yes, I saw one more hand.
So you're saying that any time there's a command commandment involving remember, it always has to be connected to an action or a refraining.
Yeah, that's right.
Always.
Zechira always translates into asiyah. That's true when God remembers us, and that's true when we remember God. And then therefore, right, the second half of that coin is that therefore, lo tishkach, you shouldn't be surprised to find that it actually means something very active. If Zechira implies asiyah, then lo tishkach would imply asiyah as well. So just to wrap up, I know we're already 2 minutes over time. I want to be very respectful. Some people have to get the barbecue going right now. But let me just conclude with one note. The ambition of the Torah, we spoke about many, many examples of Zechira and fewer, but a goodly number of prohibitions of Lo Tishkach as well. The aspiration of the Torah is not merely for us to have a state of awareness or to be willing to bring into action a certain disparate set of memories, whether it's Shabbos or Amalek or Miriam or Yitzias Mitzrayim or Tzitzis, etc. The aspiration of the Torah is for us to form what I would call historical personalities, where the events of the past and their implications, let me repeat that, and their implications, not just the zechira, but the asiya into which they are all meant to translate, is really meant to be something far more than the sum of its parts. When Chazal speak in terms of, and it's not only in the context of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, though that undoubtedly is the most famous example, when Chazal speak in terms of v'chol dor v'dor chayev adam liros es atzmo ki'ilo, and it's said in multiple different places, it's said about Yetzias Mitzrayim, it's said about Har Sinai as well, the Torah is coming from the place that at some point, all of these different mandates to remember and to be willing to act in accordance with that memory really means that we begin to identify not just with the generation into which that we happen to be born, but we begin to identify in a much deeper way with the events of the past and what they imply in terms of our actions. If you take a look here very briefly at the 25th source, one of my favorite halachos, Haroa makom shena'asu bo nisim liYisrael omer baruch sha'asa nisim la'avoseinu, a place, even a makom, can be a halachic mechayev. You see a particular location and you instinctively and viscerally react, there was a miracle here for those who came before me. Not just because you see yourself as alive because this miracle took place, but in a much deeper way, the events of the past really are determinant and a part of your identity as well. Bayamim haheim, bazman hazeh. We don't see it merely as the past, but at some point, the sum is much greater than the parts. A mentality of zechira, which translates into asiya, we see all of the mitzvos that we do as a product of what are, on some level, past experiences, hopefully, at a certain point in a person's religious life, that sense of past versus present truly does break down, and it merges into one's simple sense of identity. Bayamim haheim, Bazman hazeh. And for that very reason, and the Rav articulated this so beautifully, I'll try my best in this context, when somebody wishes to join the Jewish people, and this is the Gemara Nivamos, this is not me talking, in terms of the first thing that you go through with them, it's not theology, but here you have it, Tanu Rabbanan, we all have Megillas Rus on our mind, Ger Shebali Hisgayer, the 26th source, Bizman hazeh, the first thing that you make sure, Omrim lo mara isa shabas lizgayer, what's your motivation? Iata yodea she Yisrael bizman hazeh dvuyim dchufim tchufim eturafim. Jewish people are in neglect. They're being persecuted. They're torn apart. V'yisurin bayin aleihem. They're subject to all different kinds of terrible suffering. Im omer yodea ani. I am familiar with this history. V'eini chedai, and yet I am not roe to join such a people. Mekablin oso miyad. This is the kind of material that you should accept. Ameich ami, really, before Elokayich Elokai. There's a certain sense of embracing all of the past history of the Jewish people that is a sine qua non, really a prerequisite for any aspiration towards gear. I think that concept itself speaks to the idea that to be a member of the Jewish people is to not have a sense of memory of the past, but a sense of how that translates, informs the asiya of our lives. Lo tishkach, of course, plays an equal role in this dyad, never to alienate ourselves from past events and continue to see them as deeply and directly relevant to our lives. Thus, this is the formulation of the Aruch HaShulchan, there are certain days of our on our calendar which we instinctively know are days of salvation of the people by Yamim Ahim, Basman Hazeh, like Purim and Chanukah, and the halacha that I just quoted to you, Haroa and Makom, they're not just times, but places as well, that take us back to a previous generation and give us a sense of awareness of our unique legacy. Conclude with the psukim. This is the 23rd source. I'll conclude with the psukim from Azinu. They say it so beautifully. Zechor yimos olam, binu shnos dar vador, shal avicha v'yagedcha zekenecha v'yomru lach. We're called upon to be a people that takes a great interest, yimos olam, in shnos dar vador. We go to our father and a proverbial grandfather, shal avicha v'yagedcha zekenecha v'yomru lach. We want to understand our identities today, and we deeply, deeply recognize that to do so, we have to have a sense, a very powerful sense, of the events of previous generations that really are very much the events of our own lives. Conclude with 30 seconds just about how important I think this is vis-a-vis the modern current context. I generally don't like to make any comments about contemporary society, but I think here we owe it to ourselves to make one note. There's a remarkable transformation that's occurred during my lifetime of an attempt, in my mind a very feeble one, to try to create instant memories. The idea that mundane events, events of no significance whatsoever, should immediately be captured for posterity and posted, you know, onto the these sites for the sense of breaking down the distinction between living in the present and community. Again, you even hear people state this explicitly. We're here to create memories, as if that's something that you could do artificially, and if that wouldn't undermine the very process. This reflects two weaknesses. First and foremost, that people are living with this agenda of creating memories, they'll probably never do anything significant enough to truly warrant remembering. When you live very much in the present, then hopefully there really is something worth remembering. But even more to the point, the lack of ability to distinguish between that which is truly important and that which is not is of great concern. The fact that we have, over the course of our illustrious history, so many thousands of years, just a few things, the Sheish Zechiros, and maybe just a few others that we remember as the seminal and defining events, tells you that by definition these things cannot really be everyday occurrences. The sense that, yes, certain things truly are worth remembering and acting on and translating into the realm of Asiya is so counter the world in which we live today, where the boundaries between the present and what should become part of the collective memory, the standards have become so eviscerated and represent our threat to our very basic halachic sense of Zechira, Asiya, and Lo Tishkach. Thank you for your participation this morning.